You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona, and welcome to our house, Rosie on the House. We're going out into our outdoor living hour. It's 8 o'clock. If you're following our home maintenance calendar, you know today we'll talk about staking trees in preparation for monsoon. But we'll also talk about other things you can do in your yard to prepare for the coming winds. We hope, we pray, lots of winds, lots of rain. We've had a very wet year so far, but a very dry past few months. And man, the state could sure use a nice dumping. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Jen's call screening today. You can send texts to 411-923. Or if you need a little help with plant or insect identification, you can snap a picture and send it to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We've got a special guest in today. Do I introduce you as the Gilbert Arborist or the City of Phoenix Arborist?
The Gilbert Arborist works just fine.
Now, I don't know if you know, but I know somebody that knows you and consults you for arbor advice on a personal level.
Oh, that's great. Who would that be?
A gentleman by the name of Lonnie Crabtree.
I know Lonnie Crabtree.
He's my neighbor.
Oh, he's a good man.
We both have peach trees, and we talk about, you know, the proper way to thin and the proper method to do this and that. And he kind of is he doesn't sit around still a lot, and he doesn't have kids to go out there and pick a lot of blooms. So he does a little bit heavier pruning than I do, and we talk back and forth about the strategy behind that. And he always quotes, Richard Atkins. I asked him.
So I would say, well, whose fruit crop is the best? I mean, do you have a better fruit crop than his?
Okay, that's a hard one, because his peach trees are about 12 years old now, and mine are only 5 and a half.
Oh, okay.
But I will tell you, the bees sure liked them, because we were this close to going and picking all the peaches, and we walked out there, and bees had eaten every single peach on there. There were holes bored through every one, and every peach had 5 or 6 bees on it.
Oh, just,
I looked for the hive, because I thought peach honey might be good, but I could never find that hive.
You'll have to net them next year.
Well, thanks for spending time this morning. You've got some information for us on proper ways to stake our trees for the windy season?
Yeah, it's very important for your young trees, that have been planted within the last year, to make sure that they're supported, depending on the species and the size you planted. I mean, because when the winds blow, the roots have not developed yet to really hold the root plate in the tree in place. So you want to make sure the tree is secure so that those young roots that are just starting to grow into the soil are not torn or broken. One of the biggest concerns I have, and I see a mistake with a lot of homeowners, is they don't remove the nursery stake when the tree comes from the nursery. That's the, if you don't know, the nursery stake is the main, it's a piece of bamboo or either a wooden stake that's lashed very tight up against the trunk because it holds it straight in the nursery. I mean, that really needs to come off when you do plant a tree and you put 2 or 3 stakes around the tree to help support it.
And that's a hard discipline, because you think, well, if it's there in the nursery, put it there. It must need it in the ground.
Right. Well, I always like to think, well, it's not in the nursery anymore. So the nursery stake, you know, it needs to come off, because the tree needs to sway a little bit. That helps build up, you know, trunk tissue and helps build up diameter of the tree. I like to look at the analogy, if you had like a cast on your arm, you know, it's sitting there for a number of months, but is really weak when you take the cast off. You need to really build back up all that muscle tone. It's the same if you leave this stake really tight up against the trunk of the tree. I mean, it needs to come off so that the tissues can develop and the tree can grow normally. I mean, you have to have some other stakes on the side. I think it's funny, because I always see the stake staked to the tree. And so it's really beneficial to remove that, cut those ties off, so the tree can sway a little bit and develop more naturally.
And if you use what you see along roadside as your guideline to staking trees, you can get quite a false perception of the correct way. A lot of times they don't have the room to do 3, especially if they're going in the middle, a median. You often see them just 2, 1 on each side, and it's tied tight.
Right. It needs to be loose a little bit. The 2 is fine. You want to try to go with the direction of the wind, but it should be just a little bit loose. There's different products out there. pretty much old school is using a piece of garden hose or irrigation hose and running a wire through it. A lot of times, if you don't check it or adjust the stakes, the tree can grow into that and it can kind of girdle or strangle the tree over time. So there's some new nylon material out there that you can use to tie that kind of degrades after about 2 years, 2.5 years. And if you tie it right, you tie it with a slip knot, so as the tree expands, the tie and the support expands as well.
Now, how do you know when they can come off?
Generally, you never want to keep a stake on more than 2 growing seasons. Physically, if you go out and if you can take the trunk of the tree and move it, and you still see the soil kind of rocking a little bit around the size of the root ball, whether it's 24-inch box size tree. If you see the root plate kind of moving in the soil, it's time to keep the stakes on for a little bit until that soil is pretty much settled.
You don't want to see the soil move when you rock the tree.
Right, and then yeah, you can see that plate just kind of rocking back and forth. And that's like something coming with the winds that you were talking about. I mean, that'll take it when the new roots are just starting to grow into the soil. And that'll start ripping and breaking those roots as well as that can tip the whole tree over.
Now, what is your favorite type of tree to plant? When I called you yesterday, you were in a mesquite tree.
Was it a mesquite? Favorite to plant? I really like a desert ironwood. We've spoken about that before.
Yes.
A palabrea is a favorite of mine, even though it's thorny. I still don't mind pruning them and climbing them. But, you know, around the valley here, I like to stick with your native desert trees.
That is, and the ironwood, I think, is the best native tree for look. It's the slowest growing, but there's just something about a mature ironwood tree to sit back and look at that. I don't know. If you had to rank them, I'd say that beats a Palo Verde or a mesquite.
Oh, by far. It's a very strong structure. You know, the form is very strong. The color is nice. The flowers in the late spring are just exquisite. Those little purple pea flowers have that kind of a ghosting color if you look across the desert when it's in bloom. And then, of course, the beans, the little seed pods, are quite tasty. So, I mean, that's a great source of good nutrition and good food out in the desert.
So you've got your natural ironwood. If you were looking for something that was, well, I guess an ironwood isn't evergreen. They will do some leaf drop in
the drought
if they get too stressed in the drought. But a big shade tree.
A big shade tree other than, you know, not native. You know, mesquites provide a lot of shade, but they're not for every space. You want to have the right tree in the right space when you're designing your landscape. The red push pistache is a very nice shade tree, fairly low maintenance, medium growing. If you give it a little bit of extra irrigation during the season, it'll produce you some nice shade in about 6 to 7 years. Arizona ash is still one of my favorites for a good deciduous, you know, shade tree. There's many varieties out there on the market now, so you don't have to have all the seeds that come with the traditional Arizona ash. The Bonita variety is one of my favorites, kind of about a 20 by 20 crown spread tree. No mess, very easy to maintain. Nice for a patio home or a side yard as well.
And not every nursery carries every one of these types of trees we're talking about. And sometimes it takes some time to look. And you may even just have to wait for the next wave of trees to come off the growing yards to hit the nursery.
That's correct. Certain nurseries specialize in different types of material. And, of course, it runs construction cycles as well. Sometimes species, they'll sell out in one season, and so until they get others in and pot them up and get them growing and available for the market, you might have to wait a little while for certain species or varieties.
And when you talk about construction, so the property we're on right now has, let's see, how many ash trees are left? We've lost 3 of them, so there's 4, 5, 6 left. But it was a variety I'd never seen before, and I wonder where these came from. Well, if you go to the spring training ballpark, you see that exact tree, and it's like, this was the leftover order from what they ordered for this for the ballpark.
Okay. Yeah, it was probably a special variety that they had that was, like you said, non-seeding, hold its leaf fairly well through the season, but then leafs out early for, like you said, spring training when all the guests are there.
And there was a time when you'd mentioned the Red Push Pistache. I've got four of them now, and I would like another four to finish out a little grove I'm putting on the west side of our arena. That way, ultimately, when it matures enough, the riders will at least have some shade in the summer months as we're taking turns roping and getting in the box and whatever. And Bernie's like, I don't have them all. I just sent everything I had to Midland, Texas. They bought everything.
Right. Like,
you're going to have to wait another 6 months till I've got something to sell you.
And that's kind of how it goes. Like you said, it runs with the business. The nurseries are constantly putting up material. But somebody comes in with a big order, and you'll find a few specimen sizes around. But, you know, sometimes you just have to wait until they grow them in.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to talk in our outdoor living hour. Mr. Atkins, you are an arborist, but you are probably one of the most versatile landscape gardener growers all around minds that are in the state. We appreciate you joining us this Saturday morning. So I would say maybe not everything landscape, because there's always that one question. As soon as you say, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You have to, it's learning every day. When you're out in your landscape, whether it's, you know, out in nature or you're out in your yard, you're constantly learning. There's always something new to pick up.
So, and if you'd like to learn from Richard's learning experience, join the broadcast.